Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will... This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Michael Cohen, the rat, even he didn't believe the allegations. Even he did not believe the allegations that Stormy Daniels was raising. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It is our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Just a programming note. I'll be off tomorrow, but my buddy Mary Walter will be in. You'll be in great hands with Mary. I'll be in New York for a super secret, top secret mission, which I'll give you all the details on very, very soon. Michael Cohen, the scumbag rat lawyer, didn't even believe the Stormy Daniels allegations himself. That's what his former attorney, Robert Costello, testified to today. He didn't believe him. Now, first of all, you got to understand something, that the media recognizes that Michael Cohen was a disaster. He was hyped up. He came across as a liar. He lied many, many times. And this is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Scumbag Michael Lawyer did not have a good day in court yesterday. He lied multiple times, and they know that he was a bad witness. But they're still trying to spin it as like, well, he was essential. Here's John Heilman on MSNBC this morning.
Two quick questions. One, do you think that in the end that Michael Cohen is crucial to this? Or is there's this counter-argument, which is they didn't necessarily even need to put Michael Cohen on. You think he's important or not important?
Yeah, I'm firmly in the camp that believes that Michael Cohen's testimony was essential. I don't think the prosecution could have tried this case without putting him on, simply because the defense would have asked for an adverse inference, right? If the government has Michael Cohen available and they don't put him on, you should assume, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that something he would say would be harmful to them.
And as we sit here today, do you see a path to reasonable doubt for one juror?
There is always a path to reasonable doubt for one juror.
There's always a path to reason. So, they acknowledge that he was a disaster. Now, in a little bit, I'm going to play the interview that I did with Paul Morrow from Fox News. Paul is worried about this jury. He's worried that the judge is enabling this jury to find Trump guilty. Now, I'm not worried if Trump is found guilty. I'm really not. I'm not losing sleep over this. I'm not. But it's important to note that Michael Cohen was a disaster for the prosecution. And his attorney, his former attorney, Robert Costello, acknowledged that, yeah, you know what, Michael Cohen, he didn't believe these allegations that Stormy Daniels was raising. And most importantly, the motivation for him behind paying the hush money was to protect Melania. Remember, he goes on and on about how he's like part of the family. You know, you take a bullet for Trump. He's basically part of the Trump family, yada, yada, yada. You take a bullet for him. This motivation was mostly actually, The motivation to protect Melania Trump. Take a listen.
Missing from the Trump inauguration. I see where you are now. Thank you. And then on the next page, into that first paragraph, Cohen decided that while he didn't believe the allegation of the Stormy Daniels story, that he thought the story would be embarrassing for Trump and especially for Melania, so he decided he would take care of it himself.
Absolutely. And that is contrary to what this guy testified to in court in New York yesterday.
Well, and what's not being talked about is your next paragraph, like the reason and his motivation for that. So if you could just kind of walk through that for the committee.
Yeah, when we started to talk about the NDAs, and this is the very first meeting at the Regency Hotel, when, by the way, Rudy Giuliani was not involved in representing Donald Trump at that time. Cohn testified that it was a conspiracy between Giuliani and Costello as of this date. Totally false. In any event, he also said that he didn't discuss the Stormy Daniels matter with us, and he certainly did. I specifically asked him because he kept on going back saying, I can't believe they're trying to put me in jail for these NDAs. So I said, Michael, tell me about the NDA. Tell me about Stormy Daniels. What did you do? He said, I got a call from a lawyer representing Stormy Daniels who represented that she was going to testify that Donald Trump had sex with Stormy Daniels. Michael Cohn said, I didn't believe the allegation, but I knew that such an allegation would be terribly embarrassing. He said it would be embarrassing. He focused on Melania Trump.
Now, think about that. It would be incredibly embarrassing. If you've got people talking about your condom usage and everything else, it would be incredibly embarrassing. And he focused on, Melania Trump, the wife. The wife would be very embarrassed. Trump himself as a candidate may not have been that embarrassed by it. I mean, Americans are so, desensitized now to political scandals involving sex. We've had decades of them now. I mean, from Bill Clinton, John Edwards, on and on it goes. I mean, at this point, I don't think anyone cares. This is the love is love is love day and age in which we live, where we've watched as gay marriage became legalized in this country. We watched as fights break out over same-sex wedding cakes. I mean, and forcing Christian bakers to bake them. I mean, this is no one cares anymore about this kind of stuff. They don't let it affect their votes. Even evangelical voters voted for Trump, despite the fact that he's been divorced three times. People can separate a person's private life from their ability to do a job. And you know what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing, because there are certain people who in their private life, everything seems hunky-dory, and then you find out they're a total disaster. So it's you should separate the personal life from the private life. I'm not saying that character doesn't matter. Of course, character matters. But there are lots of factors to factor in here. I just don't think at this point the sex scandals move the needle in politics anymore. If they did, Trump probably would not be president. Bill Clinton would not be a former president. It doesn't move the needle the way it did the time that Gary Hart got caught on monkey business. And really, honestly, the thing that destroyed Gary Hart was more about the fact that he challenged the press to track him down, and they did. But that was like a million years ago. But in terms of the wife, the wife's going to be really upset. The wife's going to be embarrassed. So Michael Cohen didn't even believe the allegations, according to his former attorney. Didn't believe him. And his first thought was protect the family. All right, let's keep going.
He said, I didn't want to embarrass Melania Trump. He said, that's why I decided to take care of this on my own. Right. I went back to that several times. You did this on your own? On my own. Did Donald Trump have anything to do with it? No. Did you get the money from Donald Trump? No. From any of his organizations? No. From anybody connected to Donald Trump? No. Where did you get the money? I took out a HELOC loan against my property. I said, why would you do that? He said, I didn't want anybody to know where I got this money. I didn't want Melania to know. I didn't want my own wife to know, because she's in charge, he said, of the Cohen family finances. He said, if she saw money coming out of my account, she'd ask me 100 questions, and I didn't want to answer any of them. It was clear after talking to him for several days after that, whenever we talked on the phone or in my office, that he kept on bringing up the subject that he felt he was betrayed by not being brought down to Washington, D.C. This guy I thought, he said to me, that he should have been Attorney General of the United States, or at least the Chief Assistant to the President. Ludicrous, but that's what he thought. And he was very angry about that. He wanted to do something to put himself back into the inner circle of Donald Trump. That's why he took care of this on his own. There had to be a motivation. Michael Cohen is always working for things that benefit himself. And that's what he was doing here. That's completely different to what he said that he told the grand jury. That's completely different to what he's testifying to in New York. Nobody has heard this side of the equation.
No, they have not. And they don't care. They don't care because he was supposed to be the star witness. Just like Stormy Daniels was supposed to be the star witness, and her credibility was destroyed in the stand as well. And so then the media tries to spin it like, well, I mean, yeah, okay, maybe he wasn't the best witness, but it was still really important that he testified. I mean, it was really super duper important that he was out there. Thank God he was out there. You know what Jonathan Turley said? Jonathan Turley said that Trump, the judge, should grant a motion for a directed verdict and dismiss the case. He said, I still cannot figure out not only what the crime was that brought to life this dead misdemeanor, I can't figure out what the government's arguing as to how this should have been denoted. If it wasn't an illegal expense, what's the notion some accountant should have put it in a ledger? None of us know because they have just shrugged, and that's what this case is. It's a shrug. And they expect the judge to do the same. And he said, you know, now what I think is the most amazing thing is the prosecutor said they would close the case, that they're going to arrest after Cohen's testimony. That's a problem. Nobody has established any elements of any crime. The government has not even stated or explained why listing these payments as legal expenses is not correct. They haven't put in any material evidence to support these elements. Most judges would be insulted for prosecutors to say that's a wrap without ever making a basis for a case. So the judge will have this motion for a directed verdict, and I think any judge in good faith would grant the motion. If he sends this to the jury, he is sending a case to a jury where no crime was stated and even core factual issues remain very much in doubt. Now, this is what Paul Morrow had to say about that yesterday when I spoke to him on Jimmy Fallon's show, Fox Across America. And it's important. I want you to take a listen to this because Paul Morrow is a brilliant guy, and he has a different take than I do. I don't think there's any way that they find him guilty. But Paul is a, you know, he's a former NYPD chief inspector. He gets it. He understands. He knows it's different than what a lot of people see. And I specifically ask him the concern regarding the fact that, hey, listen, you got two lawyers on there. Don't you think you're going to maybe try to guide these people in the right direction? You went after a lot of bad guys in New York City, and you had to deal with some very animated prosecutors and district attorneys. Have you ever seen anything like this in your life?
I have not, and that's not speculation, because this theory of the case is first impression, as they call it. Just full disclosure, I'm a lawyer, guilty. So, you know, I know a case theory when I see one. And I know a lack of a case theory when I see one. And near as I can tell, the actual theory of this case is dirty Donald Trump up and create a narrative that goes as follows. Donald Trump got involved with some unsavory people. And when he decided to run for office, he wanted to hide his connection to those same people. And as a result, he should be found guilty and labeled a felon. That's the whole thing. And while we pull this apart legally and parse fine points of law, all of which is valid, by the way, which is why the case will be reversed, I default, unfortunately, to what I said earlier on the air today, which is that I think that it's a Manhattan jury. That narrative very well may be enough for them to come back with a guilty verdict. And so while Trump land thinks that this case never should have been brought, and they're 100% correct, I think we should all manage our expectations, because I think this will go to a jury. There won't be a successful motion to dismiss, and I think they're going to likely come back. I know a lot of people think, oh, likely a hung jury. I wish I could believe that, but I don't.
even though there's two lawyers on the jury pool who might guide these people into thinking, hey, listen, NDAs happen all the time. There's nothing illegal about them. You still have that worry, Paul.
Yeah, I do. I mean, and that's the hope, obviously, right? That you get at least one or maybe both of the lawyers to say, okay, look, you know, I'm schooled in the law. This thing doesn't pass the sniff test. But let's just remember that there are lawyers out there writing articles, appearing on the other networks who are talking about how valid, how necessary this case is. And remember something else, too. It was a coterie of lawyers who brought the case, mm-hmm. who put it together, who supposedly, ostensibly, would know better and clearly do not care that the theory of the case is so, so flawed. 34 counts in service of another crime, that second crime, unnamed. Everything Donald Trump did, reportedly on the advice of his attorney. So there goes Donald Trump's intent. Nothing to connect him directly to the entries. The entries made after the election. Therefore, he's being charged for influencing an election that was already over. The fact that probably two-thirds of the counts are time-barred. None of this is going to matter. They created a narrative that is going to allow 12 Manhattanites to say, yeah, I don't like him, and you know what? That's enough. He's guilty. And then, of course, it'll be reversed, but it'll be reversed after 5 November, and the damage is done.
And these New York jurors will say he's guilty of something. So this is our way of sending that guilty message. He's guilty for other things. It may not be this, but this is our way of sending a message.
Yeah, I feel so. And, you know, I'm sorry to be so cynical, man, but just I know that building, and I've been disappointed more than once in that building. And I've seen the way these things go, and who you rely upon for it to not go that way is the judge. That's who's supposed to be the stopgap here, so what I just described doesn't happen. And unfortunately, from everything I've seen from Merchan, he is all but a co-conspirator in this. And it's really going to come down, and I've been making this point, and it's sort of procedural and can be dull, but it matters. The charge to the jury is going to be key. That's when Merchan gets a chance to put his stamp on this case, the most directly, in addition to all the rulings that he's had. He's not going to entertain a motion to dismiss for all kinds of reasons. He owns this case. He's brought it to where it is now. He doesn't want to be the guy that lets Donald Trump off and all but ushers him into the White House as a victim. He doesn't want to hurt his daughter's career and have her defending what her father has done. So he's not going to dismiss it, which means we're going to go into a battle over the judge's charge to the jury. Both sides get to weigh in on that. And then he's going to charge the jury. And then, first you're going to have summations, and then you're going to have the charge to the jury. And when he charges the jury, if and when we see him say things like an NDA can be illegal under certain circumstances, et cetera, et cetera, you're going to really see where he is steering this. And so far, it just doesn't make me sanguine. And I think that there's a very good chance they're going to do Donald Trump here.
Well, Paul Morrow, you got that cop's instinct, just like my dad had. He's a retired Port Authority cop, so I get it, pal. Listen, thanks for making the time for us today. Let's hope you're wrong, but we'll see how it goes. Paul Morrow, stay safe, my friend. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Rich.
Now, summer is basically here. I was at, where did we go today? We had to run some errands. Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know if there'd be enough time. I forget where I was, but I noticed today beach chairs out. Summer beach chairs. It's great. It's a great feeling, isn't it? It's May 15th. Memorial Day is a couple weeks away. And then the summer of our discontent. How you looking? How you feeling? You ready for it? If not, NJ Diet can help you lose the weight and get that summer bod. 20 to 40 plus pounds of guaranteed fat gone off your body. Guaranteed. And no shots, no hormones, none of that nonsense. You know, I've been reading about all these bad side effects, particularly with these shots, and how it affects the breasts in lots of bad ways, like saggy and also man booby. You don't want those things. You don't want the prepackaged foods. You don't want surgery. You don't have to take shots for the rest of your life, hormones, all that nonsense. NJ Diet's all natural. And it works with your biochemistry so that you lose weight the way you're supposed to. And it works. And it's guaranteed to work. There's an NJ Diet near you. Just go to NJDiet.com. Or call 855-5-NJ-DIET. 855-5-NJ-DIET. You'll lose the weight. You'll feel great. You get the doctor's personal email, doctor's personal phone number, and they're with you every step of the way. So what are you waiting for? Before you know it, we're going to be on the beach taking our shirts off. Locations close by in King of Prussia, Newark, Delaware, and Cherry Hill, or live online from home at NJDIET.com. That's NJDIET.com, and lose the weight for good.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Guest, so happy to welcome to the show the author of the book Finding My Place, the new national spokeswoman for the Republican National Committee. Follow her on social media at Elizabeth Pipko. Elizabeth Pipko, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be with you.
So RNC National Spokeswoman, that's a huge deal. Congratulations. I mean, that's a big deal.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've been an outspoken conservative for a number of years. You're young. It's why you wrote your book and Finding Your Place and how you got there. When you look around the country right now, what do you see? I mean, do you see chaos, particularly among the generation that is our future?
I do, of course. Look, chaos is putting it mildly at this point. Someone asked me the other day what I think the greatest threat is facing our country right now, and it scared me because I'm thinking to myself that threat is internal. We have countries around the world that don't want us to exist, and yet the threat right now, the greatest threat, is people in our country, especially young people who don't see what it means to be America, who don't want the America that we know and love to exist, who have a completely different set of values than what I was raised on and what I think most of us believe in, and who see the world very differently from people like myself, whose parents gave up everything to immigrate to this country, who gave me an incredible childhood where I was told in every spare minute what it means to be an American, how lucky we are to be here. And it's really scary to look around and see people my age, younger, even older sometimes, that truly don't see the United States that I see and want a very different future for all of us. And I think a good chunk of people, especially on the right side of history right now.
Yeah, and they're definitely... When it comes to Israel, for example, I mean, you describe yourself as a proud religious Jew. You look at what's happening in this country with the rise of anti-Semitism and also, too, the way that the Democrat Party right now, I mean, it's so obvious Joe Biden is trying to have it both ways. You know, he's trying to straddle this fence here of pretending like he supports Israel while trying to keep all these campus crazies happy, the pro-Hamas wing, as Senator Kennedy called it, because he needs their votes in Michigan and Wisconsin, and he's very, very worried about losing them. But you can't straddle the middle here. You can't straddle the fence on this issue, and I think it's hurting him with both groups.
It is, and I think it's comical that we're saying, you know, straddle the fence or be in the middle when we're talking about things like condemning a terrorist group, right? Like, that's how far it's come. We're talking about a president who couldn't condemn anti-Semitism for over a week because he was scared that the anti-Semites on these college campuses would be insulted. I think it's absolutely ridiculous, and I think it's not only in America, it's actually a Democratic Party that I don't think any of us would have recognized just a couple of years back. So I don't know how it got this bad this quickly, but it is very obvious that they're taking us down an incredibly dangerous path, and I think knowing that it's the young generation especially that's being radicalized right now scares me for what that means for the future in our country.
So many young people are taught that there's only two groups. There's the oppressed and the oppressors, and that Israel's the oppressor, and that's the way it is. And this is part of the Marxist indoctrination of our youth, which is that there's only two groups in the world, the oppressed and the oppressors, and that's it. And it's terrifying to think of how academia has conditioned them to think that way in this day and age.
Well, I think our academic institutions in general have lost the faith of a lot of people, and I think now we're seeing why. I mean, these institutions, some of the greatest in the world, by the way, we're not talking about small schools, we're talking about the Ivy Leagues that people around the world dream of attending, are producing young people who don't know very basic history, who can't point out probably Israel right now on a map, but have no problem standing on a street corner and screaming for its destruction. We're talking about, you know, young people who spend thousands of dollars on an education thinking that they're going to come out and change the world, but end up, you know, screaming against their own country, screaming death to America and thinking that that's the right thing to do. It's very strange to me, again, growing up as the daughter of, you know, former Jewish refugees who told me that I'd be safe here and this was the last thing I would ever see in this country. But knowing that it's gotten to this point in our country, I think is probably a sign that all of us kind of have to rise up and prove that, like you said, there are no oppressed versus oppressors in the United States of America. There are simply people who have dreams, knowing that they're in the only place in the world where no matter where they're starting, they can still make those dreams come true. And if we don't teach that to the young generation, we will lose everything that the world knows of this country.
Elizabeth Pipko is with me. She's the Republican National Committee national spokeswoman. Let me ask you, were you offended when President Trump said that Jewish Americans who vote for Biden should be ashamed of themselves? The corporate media had a field day with that one, saying that Trump was attacking Jews. Did you feel that way?
Well, the problem with saying Trump was attacking Jews would be the simple fact that Jewish people have been attacked, especially those that vote conservative, for, you know, 8 years now. So that, in general, is a ridiculous statement, because Jews on the Republican side have been attacked since Donald Trump announced that he was running in 2015. That's number one. Number two, I think it is safe to say, and people don't give President Trump enough credit, it's safe to say that he always kind of has his finger on the pulse. He knows what people are thinking in the country. That's why he has turned the Republican Party into what he has, despite being a billionaire from Manhattan, right? He knows how to connect with people. He knows what people are feeling and what they're thinking. Even those who disagree with him would still say that. And I think when it comes to the Jewish vote right now, he's correct, because there are a lot of people in our country, and by the way, around the world, who are struggling, who saw the relationship with Israel and their own country a certain way. I certainly grew up thinking that we had an incredibly strong allyship with the state of Israel. And now we're looking around and seeing our president saying he's not going to give weapons to Israel during a war where they're fighting for their own survival against a terrorist group who wants to destroy not only them, but also the United States of America and everybody with our Western values. So I think it's incredibly confusing for a lot of people, but President Trump is incredibly right that right now Jewish Americans don't see a home for themselves in the Democratic Party, and I don't know if they ever will again.
Did you catch when Jen Psaki said the quiet part out loud when she was on with Stephen Colbert, and he asked her the question about, well, how's Biden going to win over young voters? And she said, well, as a start, we've decided to hold off on giving Israel the weapons. I mean, just admitting that this is purely and utterly a political move.
It is. I mean, I think everything at this point has become a political move because they are simply that desperate. I mean, they are losing the voters that they have relied on as a party for decades now. And I think that happens because they have taken them for granted and the American people finally see that. You know, I mean, we're talking about young voters, Hispanic voters, Black voters, who the Democrat Party has relied on, has banked on for decades now, has not put any efforts into trying to actually help their communities, simply knowing that every 4 years they would be getting their votes. And that is finally changing. I think it's changing because they're seeing a government that is so set on prosecuting Donald Trump for things that they can't even explain, and not set on simply making Americans' lives better. These are American people who cannot afford groceries like they used to, who cannot, you know, get gas like they used to, and are stuck watching the news and watching a show trial in Manhattan of all places instead of trying to see if the president might have a solution for them and their future. So this is clearly a party that is stuck, that is losing in all polls less than 6 months out from Election Day, and has no idea where to turn.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the polls. So the recent polls show Trump is outperforming with black voters, outperforming with Hispanic voters, and outperforming with young voters. In fact, he's doing better now than he did in 2020. So if you take 2020's numbers at face value, he's outperforming all of those demographics. And that's huge. I mean, that, and again, in the states like my state of Pennsylvania, which is, you know, the must-win state here, that's remarkable. And I was in Wildwood on Saturday with 100,000 people. The energy, Elizabeth, everybody was fired up. The enthusiasm factor. I feel really good going into this election. I really do. I feel very confident going into this. But you brought up the court. You brought up the trial. Paul Morrow was on with me earlier. You know, he's worried that they're gonna convict him just to send a message here. And the case will be overturned on appeal. But that's what they want to do. They're terrified of him getting a second term. You know, he's made it clear. Listen, I've learned from the mistakes in my first term. I've learned about bringing in some of these deep state creatures too close to me. I'm not going to do it again the second time. We're going to go in there. We're actually going to smash the deep state. And that terrifies these people.
It does, and they have made it blatantly obvious. I think that's the biggest mistake they have made, is they've shown people that it's not about the American people. It's not about them thinking that Joe Biden would be a better president. It's simply about their fear of President Trump getting back in office and seeing the changes that he would make, which they obviously don't agree with. I think in general, I will say, regardless of what happens in this trial, the American people know that their lives are not going to change. Right. So they know that it's the media or the elites watch closely to see if they can find some kind of victory against Donald Trump, which they can then talk about with their friends. Regular Americans know their lives will not change for the better in any way because of this trial. Right. And I think the American people are not stupid. Right. They're not naive. They know that in this country, if any candidate, any political party, for example, is relying on a trial, relying on the use of the Justice Department in any way against an opponent, they have a serious problem. That's not what anyone wants to see in this country, regardless of what side of the political aisle they are on. And it's that simple. I think Americans are sick of it and they want better for this country. They love this country. By the way, regardless of what side of the political aisle they're on, they love this country, I believe, more than they don't like Donald Trump. They are sick of what this administration has done, none of which has been for the American people, and they want better. And I think it's something that we can all finally unite around.
Yeah, so well said. And the last thing I want to ask you is, reassure voters in Pennsylvania, because I hear this all the time from people, and I've been saying this over and over again. Republicans have to embrace mail-in voting. We just have to. It's not going away. You know, I'd love to snap my fingers and go back to the day where everybody votes in person at their polling place and has to show an ID and, you know, has to use a pen and paper. But for right now, we're dealing with mail-in voting, drop boxes, early voting, early in-person voting. These are advantages that Republicans need to take advantage of. And since you are the RNC national spokesperson, I'm going to ask you to reassure us that we can trust this process and that we don't have to worry, because you guys are going to be all over it in terms of making sure that this election is safe and secure and that we can trust it and that we should embrace mail-in voting this time.
Yes, 1,000%. Look, like you said, this is about the trust of the American people, and we realize that. These are not lawsuits that we're putting out for fun. These are lawsuits that are being done because we know that the American people deserve better. We know the American people deserve to feel as though their elections are free and safe and fair, and to know that they're not going to have concerns after Election Day, regardless of who wins, by the way, because they deserve to know that in this country, we have fair elections, something that many Americans do not believe right now. On the issue of early voting, on mail-in ballots, look, this is the fight that we're in right now, and we have to go against a side that is seriously embracing these efforts, and we're not. We haven't been up until this point. So when it comes to going up against them, we have to be better than them. We have to know that on Election Day, you don't always get to vote. Yes, it's magical to wake up, to show your ID, and vote on Election Day. It's a great feeling, but it doesn't always work out. You don't know what the weather is going to do that day. You don't know what's going to be going on in your family. You need to vote the minute that you legally can vote, in any way that you legally can, and know that you have banked your vote, your job is done, and now it's about encouraging your friends to do the same thing. That is the only way that we're going to win this election on November 5th, because the side that is against us has embraced these, you know, mail-in ballots embraced early voting long before we ever got into them. We've been thinking about how to avoid them instead of how to embrace them. And that's going to change now. And that's exactly why we're going to win on November 5th.
Love it. Well said. Elizabeth Pipko, RNC national spokesperson. Follow her on social media at Elizabeth Pipko. Thanks so much for joining me. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
You know, I'm a movie buff, as I tell you, and since it's closing time, maybe I'll go catch a flick on the way home. Actually, my son's got a baseball game, so I got to run out of here, but have you seen the new relaunch of the Planet of the Apes, the remake, which they started a couple years ago? They're actually really good movies. They're actually really well done movies. I mean, obviously, if you're a fan of the original with Charlton Heston, and then there was that remake with Mark Wahlberg, which was I mean, some people hated it. I didn't hate it. I thought it was good. But then they completely reworked the whole franchise. They just started fresh with three movies that basically how the apes wind up taking over the planet. And they have another one coming out. Because once Hollywood gets a successful franchise, it doesn't let go. It just keeps going and going and going and making new ones and making new ones. And eventually, you know, people just get sick of them. It's like Disney, for example. They've announced that they're going to revamp the Marvel movies after the last ones have been total bombs. Let me give you a great example of that. So Thor, which is a character, he's one of the Avengers. You probably know Thor, the God of Thunder. The original Thor movie first came out, and it had Hannibal Lecter in it, Sir Anthony Hopkins. And Thor was a legit alpha male tough guy who, you know, was there to try to save the world. And then in Avengers Endgame, he has this post-traumatic stress disorder from not being able to save the planet. And, you know, he kind of becomes the comic relief or whatever. But then they make a spinoff. They make another movie after that. And he's a joke. And the actor who plays him came out recently, acknowledged and said, "You know what? I realized that the character, the movie didn't work because it was, it was too goofy and it was, you know." And I'll tell you the reason why this happened. This Love and Thunder Thor movie that came out and why they said it was too goofy. Because the goal here is to take anybody who is a strong alpha male and to mock and belittle them. So Chris Hemsworth, who plays the actor Thor, said Thor 4 was too silly. And he acknowledged that. He acknowledged that as much. And, you know, it might have been a box office hit, but I don't know anybody who liked it. I don't know anybody who thought the movie was good. It was too silly for its own good. He said, "I think we just had too much fun. It just became too silly. It's always hard being in the center of it and having any real perspective. I love the process. It's always a ride, but you just don't know how people are going to respond." I'll tell you exactly why it was too silly. Because they made him, Thor, into a goofball because you can't have tough alpha males because that's toxic masculinity. The first Thor movie was made back in the, 2011, 2012, that time, whenever it was. It was a really well-done movie, and this was kind of just on the cusp of the notion of toxic masculinity. But now you can't have tough guys anymore. In every movie, especially when the guy's white, the guy has to be a clown, he has to be mocked. You notice this more and more in TV shows and movies? And the idea of a tough guy... It's even why the last James Bond movie with Daniel Craig, while it wasn't totally woke, it was not the same. It was as if they were trying very hard to make him more sensitive and less alpha. And because the notion of being an alpha, what is an alpha? An alpha is the leader of the pack, right? You're an alpha male. You're the alpha predator. You're the alpha apex predator. You're the tough. That notion of that is now the left has twisted that into this thing of toxic masculinity. And then they've lied and said this creates rape culture and on. But really what it is meant to destroy manhood and masculinity and try to raise a bunch of boys who are soft little snowflakes. And Hollywood's done a very good job of that. Of taking characters that were once really strong and then making them into goofballs. And that's what happened exactly with Thor.
he went from being this really tough guy superhero. And then, look, there were parts of the first movie that were funny. And actually, even in the Avengers Endgame, where his character was clearly suffering from PTSD and was this drunk and was fat and everything like that, it wasn't about weakness. It wasn't about making him weak and this beta male. It was just the fact that he was dealing with his failure, and you know they had some fun with it. But then this Thor Love and Thunder came out, and then his one-time love interest is now the tough guy, the tough girl. He's a joke. This is what these movies do nowadays, because you can't have strong men. The idea of masculinity is now a pejorative. You know, I try to teach my son to be a man. You can act like a man. No, really. And to me, manhood is strength. It is protecting your family. It is being a loving, caring person, but also displaying strength. That doesn't mean you're not in touch with your feelings, and it doesn't mean that you're not sensitive. But we understand what it means to be a man. To the left, a man nowadays has to be subservient. Alphas cannot exist. You have to be a beta. You've got to be a follower. And typically, you've got to be a follower to one of the woke DEI groups that's out there. And so the idea of a tough alpha male, particularly a white guy, no, not acceptable anymore. They got to be clowns and goofballs. You see this more and more and more. And then people reject it, and they turn around and go, this stinks. I don't like it. I don't like it. But I'm telling you, as parents and grandparents, there's a bigger problem here. And I've talked about this with my friends who have boys. And we worry about the future for them. And I don't think it's an accident that these movies have tried to portray alpha males now as the comic relief goofballs. Because think of what Biden just redid with Title IX. Saying that if a man on college campus is accused of sexual assault, and we're not talking about, as Whoopi Goldberg would describe, as rape, we're talking about where a woman takes away her consent after it already happened, and the guy is now guilty of rape, and now he's thrown off campus, and he's treated as he's guilty, and he has to fight to prove his innocence, and it's a horrific kangaroo court process for him, and it's awful. It's just awful. For parents of men, of boys, we have to be really cognizant of this fact. And we need to raise strong, young men who can be leaders. But the problem is society doesn't want them to be leaders anymore. I'm not saying I'm not going to raise my girls to be strong. I want Claire and Reagan to be able to handle life and to be strong. But I think Reagan has the potential to become the first woman president, or at least a dictator, and take over the entire world at some point. But why can't my son also be strong? See what I'm saying? Like, why does it have to be one or the other? Like, why can't you have strong girls and also raise your boys to be strong and tough and everything else? The reason why is because the left only sees things in black and white. Remember, we've talked about this. There are the oppressed and the oppressors. And for males, white males in particular, even though my son's mixed race, but it's, you know, beside the point, they have to be the oppressors. And so every other group in the DEI checkbook has to be then the oppressed. And so therefore, they have to be the strong ones. And then the alpha males now have to be the clowns and the betas, and they have to kneel before DEI. That's it. Right there in a nutshell. You know it and I know it. But the new Planet of the Apes movie, to show you also Hollywood's still freaking nuts, the stars of the latest Planet of the Apes movie say they're Team Ape because humans destroy the environment. So two human stars of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes say they're on the side of the animals due to the current state of the planet. The Associated Press shared a clip of stars Freya Allen and Owen Teague discussing the topic while promoting their new film and saying, "I'm fully Team Ape." Now, you might ask yourself, all right, are they, maybe they're joking? Like, maybe this is like a joke. Like, you know, this is one of those things where they're, come on, ha ha ha, everybody's funny. You know what I mean? I don't know. It doesn't sound like a joke to me, but, well, take a listen. Tell me what you think.
"I'm fully Team Ape.
Listen, obviously, when I'm playing May, I'm Team Human, but I'm Team Ape. Freya's Team Ape."
"Ah, why so? I wonder.
I mean, look at the planet. Oh, yeah, here we go.
Look at what the humans have done to the Earth.
Well, yeah, I dislike humans a lot. Yeah. You know, there's the odd one that's like, no. I mean, there are times where you see humans come together and you go, oh, isn't this lovely? And then there's times where you go, I absolutely hate us.
Yeah.
Now look, I look at what humans have done to the Earth. Humans have done some good things. I'm just saying, we've done some good things. I don't know if the apes could have done a better job running the place. You know what I mean? Like when the apes were running the place, I don't think things worked out so great. I think overall, yeah, humans have messed up quite a bit, and we always make mistakes. But you know what they're really talking about, right? The environment, environmental devastation. Because in their mind, this is the generation, these are young actors, this is the generation that believes that the Earth is destroyed, we've destroyed it, and now it's time for peoplekind, to give it up. Give it up and pass the torch to a new generation of primates, because we've just destroyed our environment. That's what these nuts believe. Anyway, I'm not going to let it affect my judgment to see a movie. I decided a long time ago, if a movie is good, I'm going to watch it. It's like De Niro. We played you the clip earlier. He's a whack job, but I'm still going to watch The Godfather Part 2. I'm not going to not watch it because I enjoy it. I won't deprive myself of that joy. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, but you give your money to these people and everything else. But I also think about it this way. The movie industry supports a lot of other people besides just the actors. You know, there's the blue-collar guys and gals that build the sets, that hold the microphones, the key grips, the caterers, the local movie theater that pays property taxes. You don't want those big, empty buildings just sitting there. The people that work at the theaters. I mean, there's a whole industry of it. Drivers that drive these rich, elite stars around. You know what I mean? There's a whole industry around this industry that it would be naive and selfish to just turn around and go, I hope it all shuts down. A lot of people make their money off of the entertainment industry. And also, don't forget, there's a lot of very good, really great people in Hollywood. Wonderful people. Outstanding people. I mean, I talked to Nick Searcy this week. If you missed that interview, it's a podcast for you. But Nick Searcy is a great guy. I mean, he's a great example. He's an outspoken conservative, Trump supporter. Got his new movie coming out about the truth about January 6th. I asked him flat out. I said, you know, does this hurt you in Hollywood? He said, no, because nobody in Hollywood pays attention to us. But it's foolish to just say I'm going to write off an entire industry. Plus, I enjoy watching movies. I love going to the movies. So I'm not going to let their politics take away from me. But you see, that's the difference between us and them. The left can't do that. They really can't. I mean, they just cancel. And they'll cancel you in a heartbeat. All right. Enjoy the rest of your night. The Great One, Mark Levin, is up next. Mary Walter's in for me tomorrow. In the meantime, please keep the conversation going on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for listening. Talk to you soon.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.